Good morning, friends. You're very welcome. I'm Adrian Flannelly, and we're going to be with you for the next couple of hours. You may have been listening indeed to the first hour of Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com, the Glucksman Ireland House Radio Hour from NYU with host Dr. Miriam Nyhan, which airs every Saturday morning and is on WNYE 91.5 FM and on irishradio.com. And, this morning, Miriam shares the lecture with Professor Claire Willis on Ireland during World War II. And she ordered, she also aired her autumn interview with Micheline Sheehy Skeffington, the goddaughter of Hannah and Francis Sheehy Skeffington. We, this has been a week, big week actually, for Ireland in New York, Ireland's Prime Minister, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, and Simon Coveney, the Irish Foreign Affairs Minister, were in New York to launch Ireland's bid for a UN Security Council seat over 2021 and 2022. Yeah, they're getting a head start. The Taoiseach seeks to place Ireland at the heart of UN debate on international peace, security and development. Ireland is competing with Canada and Norway for one of the two seats available for that 2021-22 term. And, they brought out the heavy forces. Joining them, Mary Robinson, former President of Ireland, and UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. And yes, U2's Bono. We were there. And we'll take you back there. And this week, the Irish Repertory Theatre celebrated the official opening of its off-Broadway revival On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever. Charlotte Moore, the co-founder of the Irish Rep, adapted and produced this Alan J. Lerner and Burton Lane's 1965 musical about a young woman who goes to a psychiatrist to cure her smoking. But indeed, through hypnosis, discovered that she is a reincarnation of a well-born English lady. It is some cast. We were there at the opening during the week, starring Tony nominees, Melissa Errico, Stephen Bogardus, and John Cuddia. Performances are scheduled through August 12th. www.irishrep.org. And of course, you will know, friends, that you don't have to go chasing for information on sponsors of our program: Tourism Ireland, Ireland's Great Hunger Museum, Mutual of America, Quinnipiac University, the Irish Repertory Theatre, the law firm of O'Dwyer and Bernstein, Eternally Irish Memorial Site, CIE Tours. You know why? Because you can just log on to irishradio.com and we'll, you know, we'll link you directly to those sites. The executive producer of programming on irishradio.com is Anya Sheridan, and she gives me the nod to start the music, and so I will. But I just want to tell you that on the first song of today, if we go back to the 50s, and if you're not running around in the 50s, indeed the late 40s, maybe you would know that if you were in the west of Ireland, if you were in Ballina, in County Mayo, and you went into Charlie Waters' record shop, indeed it was a radio and a record shop in Ballina, and if you bought a 78 record and you found that on one side there was the Rose of Arden Moor, then the flip side would bring you this song, Tipperary Daisy. Okay. There's a bit of a tongue twister, so if you don't know it, you'd need to smarten yourselves. Okay. Go for it. Did you wind up the gramophone by chance? Oh, there we go. All right. IrishRadio.com.
I'm in love with a typical tip-tip-typical Tipperary miss. She's a darling young slip with a rosy lip that you dearly love to kiss. From the tip of her toes to the tip-tip-top of her nose, I love her so. I just like to take her and squeeze her, for I know that it wouldn't displease her. She lives in Tipperary, many miles away from here. I'd just like to meet her and see her and greet her. I'm sure I could eat her the sweet little dear. She lives so very far away, I'd have to wait a year. Till I take the notion to sail on the ocean to Ireland. Faith is me, that's nearly crazy. For me, Tipperary Daisy. All the day, me heart's a lazy. All the things I find that is on me mind is a darling girl I left behind. Far off, in dear old Tipperary. The tip when I board the ship as I drift and drift away. I'll be there with the owl when they ring the bell and I'll shout the tip hooray. And the whistle will toot and the wave will scoot and we'll shoot you down the bay. I'll wave you goodbye as we're sailing from over the top of the railing. We'll cross the briny ocean to the tiny Emerald Isle. I'd give me less penny if I hadn't any. They'd all have many to see her sweet smile. She used to sit for next me down beside the stile. But I was a rover, be dead, I came over from Ireland. Faith is me that's nearly crazy. For me, Tipperary Daisy. All the day, me heart's uneasy. For the thing I find that is on me mind is the darling girl I left behind. Far off, in dear old Tipperary.
Best way to reach us, info@irishradio.com. That's info@irishradio.com.
Hello, this is Brian O'Dwyer from the law firm of O'Dwyer & Bernstein. For over 100 years, our law firm have concentrated on construction accidents, scaffolding accidents, automobile accidents, personal injury, medical malpractice, and all sorts of accidents. For over the past 100 years, we have been proud to serve the Irish American community and will continue to do so. Our offices are located on Paul O'Dwyer Way, 52 Duane Street, just beside City Hall. Our telephone number is 212-571-7100. That's 212-571-7100. And remember, there is never any charge for consultation. O'Dwyer and Bernstein, we use our legal expertise to fight for the rights of all New Yorkers.
Yeah, we know Maureen O'Hara, of course, from The Quiet Man, so many others, but Maureen O'Hara, the singer? Yeah. And she's mitered, really. Yeah. She doesn't know which of them she'll marry. Maureen, sing it out.
If I had my pick of the three of them, the three of them, the three of them. If I had my pick of the three of them, oh, which of them would I marry? Oh, I would marry the fisherman, the fisherman, the fisherman. Oh, I would marry the fisherman, for fear he'd be wet when he'd hold me. Oh, I would marry the blacksmith, the blacksmith, the blacksmith. Oh, I would marry the blacksmith, for he'd be offsuit when he kissed me. And I would marry the tailor man, the tailor man, the tailor man. Oh, I would marry the tailor man. He's dry and he's clean, but he'd bore me. If I had my pick of the three of them, the three of them, the three of them. If I had my pick of the three of them, there's none of them that I would marry.
Meanwhile, Dermot O'Brien getting ready for Yes, good. Go on, sir. The Merry Plowboy. Heading for Ireland, if you'd like to travel in style, there are four of the most popular tours that qualify for a very special offer from CIE Tours. You could start with the Irish Spirit. That's 8 or 9 days from $1,625 per person. Touring the east and west coasts of southern Ireland, visit castles and sample whisky, see where the Quiet Men was filmed, and you cruise Loch Corrib and you see the cliffs of Moher. Now, you know, take another one. Jewels of Ireland, and this $2,800 per person per 14 or 15 days, where you can explore local culture on this longer tour. Visit Dingle. Cruise Ireland only for experience, Connemara farm life. Marvel at Europe's highest sea cliffs. Now, I could keep going, or you could log on to CIETours.com. That's CIE Tours, luxury tours of Ireland. And indeed, when you book a select guided tour vacation, you also can take in Ireland and Britain, or Ireland or Britain. 800, toll-free number 559-0388. Toll-free, 800-559-0388. And, friends, I want to take you now on a bit of a tour to Ireland. Which of us hasn't heard and maybe sang along with one of Ireland's most famous songs, Molly Malone, right? But you don't, going back a few decades, a good few decades, Kate Smith was indeed probably the most admired and honored female American singer. And this must have caught her ear. And so now you get two for the price of one. Get America's premier singer from that time. And the song, Molly Malone. Oh, 1954. Okay. Take it away, Kate.
In Dublin's fair city, where the girls are so pretty, 'twas there I first met her, sweet Molly Malone. She drove a wheelbarrow through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Was a fishmonger, and sure 'twas no wonder, her father and mother were fishmongers too. They drove their wheelbarrows through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She died of a fever, and nothing could save her. And that was the end of sweet Molly Malone. Her ghost rides the barrow through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive. Alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
Good, tell yourself, Kate.
Hello, this is Brian O'Dwyer from the law firm of O'Dwyer & Bernstein. For over 100 years, our law firm have concentrated on construction accidents, scaffolding accidents, automobile accidents, personal injury, medical malpractice, and all sorts of accidents. For over the past 100 years, we have been proud to serve the Irish-American community and will continue to do so. Our offices are located on Paul O'Dwyer Way, 52 Duane Street, just beside City Hall. Our telephone number is 212-571-7100. That's 212-571-7100. And remember, there is never any charge for consultation. O'Dwyer and Bernstein, we use our legal expertise to fight for the rights of all New Yorkers.
You know, I could have sworn that that Brian O'Dwyer gave us that message before. He wasn't supposed to get two. No, this is the commercial from Mutual of America that I was supposed to give you in the first place. Yeah, okay. No, 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 no. What is this? Oh, boy.
Spirit of America. That's Mutual it. Of America. Your retirement company. Since 1945, Mutual of America has successfully served the pension and retirement needs of its customers as they plan for a financially secure future. They recognize Mutual of America's dedication to the same values that have made our country strong. Service, leadership, trust, innovation, and caring. Individuals and groups, companies and partnerships, both big and small, receive individualized retirement planning. Mutual of America offers retirement and savings products with a wide variety of investment options. Local salary consultants manage business for the long-term interests of their customers rather than the short-term demands of the stock market. Mutual of America should be your first choice for your retirement needs. Celebrate the spirit of America. Mutual of America, your retirement company. Visit mutualofamerica.com today. That's mutualofamerica.com.
Oh, and you showered him. Put the board from the door there in case Brian O'Dwyer comes back in again, huh? Go back to bed. Okay. Here we go. Lighting it up a bit. Don't call me early in the morning.
Don't call me early in the morning. Call me what you want to, but leave me alone. Don't call me early in the morning. Just leave me for the curry to come home. Well, a man is a man, but he needs his relaxation from rising always at the dawn. And the heart of the mother, tomorrow is a Saturday, and I'll be lying on. Don't call me early in the morning, call me what you want to, but leave me alone. Don't call me early in the morning, just leave me for the cows to come home. The lad who can't rest contented, he hides it all but must have it more. He fills himself with pills to retire with a million and fall to sleep at 64. Don't call me early in the morning, call me what you want to, but leave me alone. Don't call me early in the morning, just leave me for the cows are come home. There, and I've done me share, my nerves are getting on me nerves. If you haven't got a pillow with a white swan feather, a corner will do for me then. Don't call me early in the morning, call me what you want to, but leave me alone. Don't call me early in the morning, just leave me for the cows are coming home. A warning for tomorrow morning, no big noises near my room. Hard with no exhaust, chicken with the ribbon cock, just men that whistle out of tune. Don't call me early in the morning, call me what you want to, but leave me alone. Don't call me early in the morning, just leave me for the cows are coming home. Don't call me early in the morning, call me what you want to, but leave me alone. Don't call me early in the morning, just leave me when the cows are coming home. Just leave me till the cows are coming home.
Got the message there, all right. Okay. Now, you may want to start off with a nice small hornpipe here from Paul McMahon, which you have to get in gear for a couple of wheels as well. Uh,
actually, you don't have to dance at all. You could take off your shoes and tap your toes, whatever. Whatever turns you on.
Irish Repertory Theatre, very proudly presents Burton Lane and Alan J. Lerner's great 1955 musical. Let's go to the Irish Repertory Theatre and the adapter in chief, director, Charlotte Moore.
Well, thank you. I love all those titles, Adrian. I love them. After I work hard for them, I love them.
Yes, yes, indeed. It is, we were privileged, of course, to be at the opening the other evening. And what a, you know, what a cast, what a presentation. And I noticed that, you know, some of your reviews. It is so critically acclaimed at this point. But, you know, many of them would say the cast, you know, has been reduced from 47 in the original and the orchestra, you know, to 5 from 31. For those of us who attended the other evening, we would not have noticed because it is a fabulous production.
You know, Adrian, a strange you should mention that word, because my musical director, Mr. John Bell, who's a very well-known musical person here in New York City, was outraged at the word reduced. He called me and said, I'm going to call the New York Times and say and tell them that this score has been reimagined, not reduced. He was in a fit about all that. To an extent, Adrian, I think that's true. I mean, the music, gorgeous as it is, we can't have an orchestra of 40 on our stage, as nobody can these days have an orchestra of 40 on the stage. Nobody could afford it. And so it has been, of course, reimagined by wonderful musicians, Josh Clayton and John Bell, who do all the encores presentations with smaller casts. I mean, experts have done it, and I'm very proud of it. And it's lovely of you to mention that, because I think we have achieved the story, simplified a bit the story, but achieved it, what it's all about here. I know you enjoyed it. You said you did. And I hope that people will enjoy a simpler, more straightforward storyline with the original gorgeous music. Can't beat that music, Adrian.
The music is fantastic, and I have to say that the orchestra is so fabulous. I would have been very happy, you know, to be there to experience the orchestra even before. It is it's amazing.
I know you as a musician, Adrian, would appreciate that, and I've tried to get the best, the finest orchestra in the city, and I know lots of them, and so that's my one of my prime concerns. The music, the singers, and the players are always more important to me.
You know, the musical score, of course, is tremendous. It's a rarely staged musical. Does that have to do with it? It's quite a a complicated job for a director such as yourself.
It is indeed, and there's a reason that it's very rarely staged. It's too hard. It's very tough, Adrian. I mean, it takes place in 2 centuries, and there's psychoanalysis and ESP and all kinds of stuff that was very, very popular in 1965, which has become kind of passé now. And so I linger on the main story, which is a wonderful love story, and the music. I think that maybe I'm mistaken, but I think that's the way to do this musical.
Absolutely, again, that's fantastic. Now, you are not short of theater stars, my God.
No, I'm not.
Yes, Tony nominees, like Stephen Bogardus. His role is one that's, well, it's a brilliant role, but to line him up with, Melissa Errico and, John Cudia, from Phantom of the Opera. That's a fairly neat, ensemble in itself.
It is indeed. I'm very proud of them. Very proud. They are all Tony nominees, and Stephen Cudia was the Phantom of the Opera for a couple of years, and Melissa Errico's well known, gorgeous girl and voice,
oh, yeah.
And Stephen Bogardus, with whom I am now madly in love, although he has a gorgeous dancer wife, but that has never stopped me before. But he has the clear, wonderful voice of a star. He really is a star.
Isn't it a great opportunity, though, when you see the Tony nominees? They don't get that much, you know, of an opportunity to meet each other and to work together. That's really amazing, and it actually shows the chemistry. Oh my God.
Yes, doesn't it? That's by accident. I can't take credit for that, but it sure has worked. They are very happy together. They are pals. They go out for dinners together, and they respect one another like no cast in my memory has, because they're so good, Adrian.
Oh,
Aren't they good?
They are fantastic. Okay. Can you give us just a little brief, lineup, a little storyline without giving it all away?
Well, Melissa Errico's character, Daisy Gamble, wants to quit smoking so she can get a job in a place where there's no smoking allowed. And so she goes to a psychoanalyst to help her, and he regresses her to the age of 5 and beyond, and discovers that she has had another life in the 18th century. And she's an aristocrat and married to a painter, an aristocrat, and he falls in love with her. And she, as Daisy Gamble, the girl, falls in love with the psychoanalyst. And so there begins a story, Adrian, which is complicated, but in the end, simple. They go off very happily together in the end, singing on a clear day, you can see forever.
How about that? There, for those indeed, and in the summer heat, one might indeed say, well, how, you know, do people kind of get away from this and have a terrific evening and afternoon? It is fabulous, and thanks again to your state-of-the-art theater. It's a great place to go.
Yes. Now, thank you, Adrian. I'm a little cold in here right now.
well, enjoy it. Now, it's running through August 12th.
Yes.
And, of course, friends, most of you would know that the Irish Repertory Theatre is located at 132 West 22nd Street between 6th and 7th Avenues. And there's a little incentive to actually head, the rep. If you're in town, if you are looking for a musical, one that's not often presented, and if you have in the past, had an opportunity to see, for instance, Finian's Rainbow, another great presentation by the Irish rep, I would strongly recommend this. I think that most people leaving the opening, the theatre the other night, were, they're humming the tunes, and their heads. I want to wish you, seriously, you and Ciarán, a lot of luck with this one. Complicated and trying to... do a presentation of On a Clear Day You Can See Forever. Honestly, I think John Bell shouldn't be that sensitive, but just in case he continues that, would you tell him that I did not say it with the reduced orchestra?
I will. Adrian, you're so kind. Thank you so much. And it was so thrilling to have you and Anya here at opening night.
Okay, thank you indeed. It was great. Again, Francis, the Irish Rep. The Irish Repertory Theatre. Again, On a Clear Day You Can See Forever. Adapted by our guest, Charlotte Moore. The musical director, John Bell. Choreographer, Barry McNabb. A tremendous, well worth taking in your summer schedule. And again, it only runs to August 12th. You could log on to irishrep.org and you can access irishrep.org website through irishradio.com and the telephone number 212 727-2737. Irish Radio Network, USAIrishRadio.com, worldwide, the family show from New York City.
Surrounding ourselves with friends and family to remember a precious life can help ease the burden. Introducing eternallyirish.com, a brand new memorial website that offers families and friends the chance to create an online Irish home for their loved ones who have passed away. Beautifully designed with pictures of the Irish landscape, Eternally Irish is an easy-to-use website, allowing the bereaved to easily and quickly create a memorial for their loved one, celebrating their loved one's life in the Irish tradition of gathering together in times of need. Eternally Irish gives you the opportunity to share memories and stories online, to show a bereaved family that you remember and you care. The bereaved family can read these stories and memories and remember their loved ones with a broad Irish smile. a uniquely Irish home for all eternity. For more, watch our informative video on eternallyirish.com.
CD called Kill of the Kidnap, Music and Memory, and there's a scatter of reels here from Miss Cassidy's All Around the Roof, and another very popular one. Flowers, not many, only three. Okay. It's from Richard Hayward, An Ireland of Treasures.
One time when walking down a lane, as night was drawing nigh, I met a colleen with three flowers, and she more young than I. Saint Patrick, bless you, dear, said I, if you will kindly tell the place where you did find these flowers, I seem to know so well. She took a flower and kissed it once, and softly said to me, this flower I found in Thomas Street in Dublin Fair, said she. Its name is Robert Amadis, the youngest flower of all, and I'll keep it fresh beside my breast, though all the world should fall. She took and kissed the next flower twice, and softly said to me, this flower comes from the Antrim hills outside Belfast, said she. The name I call it is Wolfstone, the bravest flower of all, and I'll keep it fresh beside my breast, so all the world should fall. He took and kissed the next flower thrice, and gently said to me, "This flower comes from a Wicklow hill, its name is Dwyer," said she. "And in that stone and Dwyer I'll keep, for I do love them all. And I'll keep them fresh beside my breast, though all the world should fall. So in that stone and Dwyer I'll keep, as I do love them all. And I'll keep them fresh beside my breast, all the world should fall."
Recorded in 1943 there, Richard Haywood. Okay, the summer in Dublin. From Bagatelle, the program, Family Show Life in New York, IrishRadio.com, worldwide. Info at IrishRadio.com. That's my reason.
I want to see you, and now that I have, I just want to be left alone. I'll always remember your kind words, and I'll still remember your dreams. But I see you changing and turning, and I know the same just won't be the same. So I'm
Museum, Quinnipiac University. Well, I think you know, and if you don't, I'll tell you again. It is and has been Ireland's Great Hunger Museum's world's largest collection of Great Hunger-related art, and it has launched its new exhibition. As a matter of fact, having had a wildly successful run, as it were, the exhibition in Dublin Castle. As we speak, the exhibition is on its way to Illan in West Cork, the Irish Arts Centre in Skibbereen, where it will be on display from now through October. So watch out for that. This exhibition, it features original drawings by Joseph Becker, another 19th century artist who worked as artist reporters for Frank Leslie's Illustrated Weekly, the era's leading illustrated periodical, and the artist covered events such as the Civil War, the building of the Transcontinental Railroad, and the laying of the Transatlantic Cable. So much. The Irish Civil War, the museum located at Whitney Avenue here in Quinnipiac. Yes, Quinnipiac University, Ireland's Great Hunger Museum. Open Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and indeed Sunday from 1 to 5. No, all of the exhibition did not go to Ireland, but if you're heading to Ireland's Great Hunger Museum at Quinnipiac University, as a matter of fact, if you have an interest in Ireland's Great Hunger Institute, at Quinnipiac University, you get that information on ighm.org. That is ighm.org, as in Ireland's Great Hunger Museum. Let's take a song from the collection of Stephen Foster. This one has been jigged around a little bit, rejigged, let's say, to make it politically correct. And if you wanted to do that, of course, you'd have to go to Atty McHugh and call on Bernadette Ruddy to sing The Old Folks at Home.
Way down upon the Swanee River, far, far away, there's where my heart is turning ever, that's where the old folks stay. all up and down the old creation. Let me, I will. Longing for the old nation, far from the old folks at home. All the world is sad and dreamy. Everywhere I roam, oh brother, thou my heart grows weary.
And friends, over to Ireland, to our colleague, our newscaster, sportscaster, friend of decades. How are you doing there, Kevin O'Connor?
Very good, yes. Yeah, still in this very, very fine weather, which is causing a lot of problems now for these farmers. But the big story is holiday chaos looms as Ryanair pilots vote to strike next week. Wahlberg's to bring burger chain to Ireland. Dole revamps ethics law. And U2 add sparkle to Irish UN bid in New York. A selection of some of the main stories is All-Ireland champions Galway replayed their Leinster hurling final against Kilkenny in Semple Stadium Fairless as Croke Park is busy with a concert. Galway were firm favourites last Sunday and -3 in the spread betting. That won't be the case in the replay. World number 7, Rory McIlroy, who is hosting the event, and world number 6 and holder, John Rahm, spearhead a quality field in the Dubai duty-free-sponsored Irish Open at the superb Donegal Links Ballyliffin. The Pat Ruddy, Tom Craddock design measures 7,220 yards from the back tees and plays to a par of 72. It is no pushover, especially if the winds blow. With 6 days' notice, thousands of Ryanair passengers face the prospects of summer strike chaos after pilots serve notice of a 24-hour stoppage next Thursday and warned there is more to come. The airline may face more turbulence as other groups of staff are set to demand better conditions, while there are fears that industrial action will hit bases abroad. More than 100 directly employed Irish-based pilots voted overwhelmingly in favour of industrial action this week. A total of 99% of the pilots represented by the Irish Airline Pilots Association backed strikes in a row over who gets first call on workplace perks, including holidays, promotion, and transfers to bases. In a notice to customers, Ryanair said next week's strike would affect just 7% of its flights. Ryanair said, since Ireland accounts for less than 7% of Ryanair flights, we expect that 93% of our customers will be unaffected by any Irish pilot strike next Thursday. Ireland's burger market is set for an injection of Hollywood glamour as actor Mark Wahlberg seeks sights here for the burger chain he owns with his brothers, fellow actor Donnie Wahlberg and chef Paul Wahlberg. Property agents Finnegan Menton has been retained by the trio to find locations suitable for Wahlburgers, which was set up in 2011 and which has 27 outlets across the U.S. and Canada, said Mark Wahlberg. Our goal is to have a number of Wahlburgers restaurants across Ireland in the next 10 years. The Convention Centre Dublin has been named Europe's leading meetings and conference centre for the second year running. The announcement was made at the 25th annual World Travel Awards held in Athens. The Irish venue was pitted against rivals in London, Paris, Berlin and Vienna. And still on tourism, Forza Ireland launched its fourth key brand, Ireland's Hidden Heartlands, this week. Director of Marketing Niall Tracy said the launch came as many people living abroad do not know what Ireland has to offer outside of Dublin and lush green grass. To combat this, Forza Ireland has become a brand builder in recent years. This began with the Wild Atlantic Way on the west coast and progressed with the launch of Ireland's Ancient East to promote historical and culturally significant sites in the country. Ireland's Hidden Heartlands will cover areas from Leitrim down to East Clare and across Longford, Roscommon, East Galway, as well as parts of Westmead, Cavan, North Tipperary and Offaly. The area includes activities such as walking, cycling, angling and boating. The Department of Foreign Affairs does not expect an American ambassador will be sent to Ireland this year after a second wealthy Donald Trump supporter who was tipped to take the job dropped out. Ireland has had no American ambassador since U.S. President Trump dismissed all Barack Obama's political appointees, including Kevin O'Malley, in Dublin after his inauguration as president in January 2017. Foreign Minister Simon Coveney had expected the president to announce that he was appointing Edward Crawford, who's aged 80, an Ohio billionaire with Cork roots, but the announcement failed to materialize after the dismissal of Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State in March. U2 officially raised the curtain on Ireland's bid to secure one of two non-permanent seats at the United Nations Security Council, the organization's most powerful body. At a sold-out concert at Madison Square Garden midweek, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, Taoiseach Minister Simon Coveney, and senior Irish officials, including Ireland's ambassador to the UN, Geraldine Byrne Nason, joined every ambassador to the UN to hear why they should vote for Ireland for a seat for a two-year term starting in 2021. Ireland faces stiff competition from Norway and Canada for one of two seats, which come up around every 20 years. European Commissioner Phil Hogan has said every sector of the Irish economy is now ramping up preparations for a no-deal scenario in the Brexit talks. Hogan said contingency plans in the event that customs duties will have to be collected and administered at the EU border with Britain are being fleshed out. His stark comments come amid growing pessimism in Brussels that Britain can strike a comprehensive withdrawal agreement and transition deal with the EU ahead of its departure next March, said Phil Hogan. The mood is not optimistic in relation to the possibility of reaching an agreement at the moment. The husbands, wives and children of public representatives will have to declare their interests to a powerful standards commissioner as part of a long overdue overhaul of ethics legislation in the Dáil. The government has sought to speed up the passage of the Public Sector Standards Bill, which was drafted in response to the Mahon Planning Tribunal recommendations. But it has been progressing at a snail's pace through the Oireachtas. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't go far enough. I would like them to consider the brothers and sisters and parents of TDs and senators. Finally, former Taoiseach Enda Kenny has signalled an interest in running for the job of European Commission President next year. He has expressed an interest in the role and inquired about the practicalities of securing the nomination of the European People's Party. The Mayo TD is obviously looking for opportunities after he retires from the Dáil at the next election. Gavin O'Connor in Roundwood after the driest June in 77 years. As the fine weather continues, it is pretty difficult for farmers at the moment. Crop yield is expected to be down by 50%. Sean Agwiv, Galair.
Oh, the heat, I tell you, Kevin O'Connor, isn't it a new day? When
it is, we don't get this kind of heat. I mean, up to 90 degrees there last week. Yeah. And in the 80s, you know, that's kind of unusual for Ireland. 70s is fine, but in the 80s it's pretty hot. We find it anyway.
Yeah,
but
not,
so,
we never
doing very little and watching the factor 50.
Yes, let me tell you.
At least factor 50.
Yeah. It's a new day when we have visitors coming back, you know, from Ireland here to North America complaining about the heat. That's
yeah.
Something. Well, and I always tell them, well, you didn't miss anything here either, because of sweltering heat.
However,
interesting there, reference to tourism Ireland, you know, with the great success of the Wild Atlantic Way and Ireland's Ancient East. I'm sure
Yes. Those
in the heartlands of Ireland and
Ireland's hidden heartlands.
Yeah.
That's what they long week.
Yeah.
Well,
at the right.
Covers quite a lot of counties now, you know, Clare, yeah. Longford, Roscommon, East Galway, as well as Westmeath, Cavan, North Tipperary and Offaly.
It's all good. At the rate they're going, we need a shoehorn, and not this year, but I'm sure within a couple of years to get the tourists in Ireland well taken care of, as they are indeed now. Kevin, thank you. Kevin O'Connor with news and sports from Ireland, sponsored by Tourism Ireland. And you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com.
Losing our loved ones is never easy, but surrounding ourselves with friends and family to remember a precious life can help ease the burden. Introducing eternallyirish.com, a brand new memorial website that offers families and friends the chance to create an online Irish home for their loved ones who have passed away. Beautifully designed with pictures of the Irish landscape, Eternally Irish is an easy-to-use website, allowing the bereaved to easily and quickly create a memorial for their loved one, celebrating their loved one's life in the Irish tradition of gathering together in times of need. Eternally Irish gives you the opportunity to share memories and stories online, to show a bereaved family that you remember and you care. The bereaved family can read these stories and memories and remember their loved ones with a broad Irish smile. A uniquely Irish home for all eternity. For more, watch our informative video on eternallyirish.com.
I have to tell you that if anybody were to walk or be passing the United Nations the other evening, boy, you wouldn't believe it, because the music we're listening to by Mick Maloney, this and a lot more, was wafting its way from the North Lawn And, well, this is what you would have heard, and then I'll follow up.
Till the broad daylight, I'll go home with the girls in the morning. I roll the boatman, roll, floating down the river on the Ohio. I roll the boatman, roll, floating down the river on the Ohio. The oyster boat took heat to the shore, the fishing flats adventure more. The schooner sails before the wind, the steamboat leaves us big behind. Oh, dance the boatman, dance. Dance the boat and dance, oh dance all night till the broad daylight, and go home with the girls in the morning. I row the boat and row, floating down the river on the Ohio. I row the boat and row, floating down the river on the Ohio. I went for
it was an elegant affair. Yeah, that maybe 200 or more people gathered in the sweltering heat on the north lawn of the United Nations building here in New York. And it wasn't just a hoolie for the sake of it. Ireland's Prime Minister, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, and Simon Coveney, the Irish Foreign Affairs Minister, were there making a bid for the UN Security Council seat from 2021 to 2022. The Taoiseach, of course, takes a place in Ireland at the heart of the UN debate on international peace, security, and development. No small, this is something that could happen and probably will, but, you know, Ireland is competing, you know, against Canada and Norway. But they brought all us the heavies to make their case here the other evening, including Mary Robinson, former President of Ireland and UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. And yes, Bono, you too. You had plenty to say. And we'll take you down to the North Lawn of the United Nations, and the backdrop is terrific. It's of course, going back to 2000 when Bertie Ahern was the Prime Minister of Ireland, the Irish and Irish famine ship was indeed installed in the North Lawn and has been, you know, among the greatest pieces of art that is anywhere in New York City, including the United Nations.
Ohio.
Get ready now, we're taking you down to the United Nations.
Ireland's video for the Security Council with our very own song, One. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome to the stage on Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, Prime Minister and Taoiseach of Ireland. Ear up to on President of Ireland, Mary Robinson. Our Foreign Minister and Deputy Prime Minister, Simon Coveney. And a man who really doesn't need an introduction, Bono. One love, one blood, one life. You got to do what you should. One life with each other, sisters and brothers. We get to carry each other. One. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a deep honour for me to introduce to you the Prime Minister of Ireland, Leo Varadkar.
Geraldine, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. For today at least, this is a small corner of Ireland by the East River. And thank you so much for joining us this evening. We gather here at the headquarters of the United Nations to formally launch Ireland's candidature for election to the Security Council for the 2021-2022 term. That always happens to me. So keep going. Apparently I'm much taller in person than that. Anyway, we gather here at the headquarters of the United Nations to formally launch Ireland's candidature for election to the Security Council for the 2021-2022 term. And we do so alongside a sculpture depicting Irish emigrants disembarking from a ship on the East River in the 19th century. It remembers the many Irish people who travelled the world in search of new and better lives, and the countries that welcomed them. Throughout much of our history, we as Irish people left our home shores to voyage elsewhere as political emigres, economic migrants, missionary educators, or humanitarian workers. And the deep bonds that we formed with your countries were formed over centuries. We became connected to the wider world through our people, and we have renewed and strengthened those bonds through our involvement here at the United Nations. Ireland has also welcomed people from all over the world to our own shores, and indeed my own family history is testament to that. We have now become a country of net inward migration, and we welcome that because migration has strengthened our economy and enriched our society and culture. Today, more than 17% of Ireland's population was born outside of Ireland, and that's a sign of just how globalised Ireland has become in just a short few decades. While geographically we're a small island on the periphery of Europe, we see ourselves as an island at the centre of the world, and we're deeply aware that in an interdependent world, the great challenges of our time do not know geographic boundaries, so finding solutions to them has to be a shared and global responsibility. And it's this sense of shared responsibility that guides Ireland's view of the world and the part that we want to play in it. In 1921, Ireland became an independent state, escaping a history of colonialism and conflict. It's not a unique story, and we've much in common with so many of your countries. Like the United Nations, Ireland was born out of war and violence, and it shaped how we view the world and our responsibilities as global citizens. Our membership of the United Nations since 1955 has helped us to take our place among the nations of the world. We support vigorously a rules-based order in international affairs, and we've acted as a voice for the disadvantaged and defenceless, promoting freedom and defending human rights. In areas like peacekeeping, disarmament, sustainable development, human rights, humanitarian assistance, we've matched our words with actions down the years. And we're conscious that our contribution is the most effective in partnership with the wider international community. The Paris Climate Agreement and the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development are two examples of the enormous power and potential of multinational partnerships. For these and other challenges, Ireland brings particular perspective, shaped by our history and our geography. Our perspective on conflict resolution and reconciliation is formed by the long history of conflict and division on our island, and success from the deep efforts that are required to bring it to an end. We learned that it takes two to fight, but it takes many to make a lasting peace. This year, as you know, is the 20th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. And while the path to full reconciliation on our island is incomplete, the Good Friday Agreement has stood the test of time, creating new relationships, overcoming centuries-old divisions, and giving hope to the future. We understand the need to listen and the importance of respecting difference. And on the UN Security Council, if you give us the opportunity to serve there once again, we will bring our hard-won insights and practical lessons to the top table. As a nation that has experienced colonialism, conflict, famine, mass migration, Ireland's lived history resonates with the aims and objectives of the UN Charter. We have a long-standing commitment to working for the eradication of poverty and hunger in the world. We migrated in our millions, and we recall the great compassion and the opportunities given to us by many when we were, as the Statue of Liberty says not too far from here, the huddled masses yearning to breathe free. It's an experience that is seared on our collective memories and our consciousness as a people. So our wish to engage with the wider world propelled us to join these United Nations decades ago and remains undiminished today. We've always sought to be an active and fair member of the international community, and today we believe that we can do more. Recently, the Irish government launched a strategy to double the scope and impact of Ireland's global footprint by 2025, and we announced the opening of 13 new embassies and consulates in the past year alone. We've also once again committed to deliver on 0.7% of GNI to development assistance by 2030. We believe we are stronger acting together than we can ever be alone. And at its best, this place, the United Nations, is the conscience of our humanity. In these troubled and uncertain times, as a global island, we want to play our part in defending, supporting, and promoting its values. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Taoiseach. Time for her story. Mary, she's known as Mary in the corridors of the UN, Mary Robinson, our precious Mary Robinson, was Ireland's first female president. She was the first UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. And sisters, she's also the first woman to show us that the hand that rocks the cradle can also be the hand that rocks the system. Hashtag women of the world take over. We all saw that last night. We're going to hear more about it later on. Mary's passion and conviction for human rights just simply shines through, whether it's in Somalia in the camps, in Rwanda straight after the genocide, or on her global platform now with fellow elders. It's with immense pride that I say to our dear ear up throne, Mary Robinson, Mary Robinson, you simply rock.
Thank you very much, Geraldine, and excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. This is an interesting evening for me, an unusual one, when I endorse very strongly my country's commitment to do the difficult thing. The Security Council is not easy. It's a hard, hard labour of love, if you really love what the UN stands for. And I think Ireland really does. And I'm happy to be here to support Ireland's candidature for the UN. And I do it as somebody who had the privilege to serve in various capacities for the UN. The Irish government put me forward to be the second but first woman High Commissioner for Human Rights, and they knew that the office was in a difficult position, not easy, and they said, you know, are you sure? And I said, no, I'm sure. I'm a human rights person. I really want this. And they said, okay. And Kofi Annan fortunately supported me, and I served for a four-year term and then an extra year because I really felt that commitment to the difficulty of human rights. The first year, the extra year was just after 9/11. So I served as High Commissioner for Human Rights in that difficult period when I also had to speak truth to power after the terrible attacks on the United Nations, on the United States of 9/11. And how we would mediate that in the UN system and how we would see it as crimes against humanity. But unfortunately, there was also a strong view this was a war on terrorism, which I didn't agree with at the time and still don't think was a particularly good idea. A war on terrorism, a war on abstract, is not a good thing for human rights. But later I served as special envoy for the Great Lakes in Africa. I think I was the first woman to serve in a serious mediation role in the UN, and not before time. And then in the lead up to the Paris Climate Agreement, two mandates, the Special Envoy of the Secretary General on Climate Change before Paris, and then afterwards, jointly with Macario Kamau of Kenya, the Special Envoy on El Nino and climate. And these gave me insights into what the UN is really trying to do and what Ireland's role can be, because Ireland supported me so strongly in each of those roles. And I do have a real sense that Ireland, as a small country that is independent, that is not part of any military alliance, that has an empathy with any country that is struggling to have its freedom, as we did, from a colonial power next door, as struggling against the terrible famine in the 19th century, when we really were decimated by hunger and became a champion in the UN system of hunger, as you will recognize, I believe. And how we now, as a modern Irish state, want to give support and empathy and example and a lift up to countries that are also on that road. I want to be a bridge builder, which the UN badly needs. A bridge builder who understands the other, who empathizes with the other, who can link with the other. And I know that Bono is going to talk to you about the importance of storytelling, which I also believe. We are a country that has our own DNA of storytelling that is a great strength to us as a people. And we have served well in our previous times in the Security Council. I honestly and definitely believe we can serve again for a rules-based, multilateral system that is so vital to our world, that we need for peace, development, and human rights, that nexus of all three. And we understand it well. We have lived it. We believe it. We can serve it well. And I hope that you will support us in this. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, when your minister is polishing his unga speech the night before and he drops at least a page and turns to you and says, why can't we just say, in Ireland, what you see is what you get. I think you know, as an ambassador, it's time to move over. Ladies and gentlemen, it's now a pleasure to give the floor to a man who's well known to many of you here. He's a friend to even more of you in the course of the last year, and I can tell you that he can negotiate the UN labyrinth at level 1B like a true pro. The Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Minister of Ireland, Simon Coveney.
Thank you, Geraldine. You're a true pro yourself, I have to say. We had a number of meetings today, and the number of people who said to me, I'm going to support Ireland because of Geraldine, I've lost count of. So, Geraldine, thank you for the work that you're doing for Ireland. Ireland has placed a huge value on the UN since we joined as a very young republic, which we have struggled and fought hard for in order to have our own independence. In taking our place among the nations of the world, we realized that multilateralism gives expression to sovereignty rather than diminishing it. over 60 years later, this realization remains at the center of our approach towards the UN, towards the EU, and towards our foreign policy generally. We Irish are, as Mary said, by nature, bridge builders. We like to talk to everybody. We listen to all sides and work to build collective solutions to shared global challenges that we can only solve together. We have shown this in securing agreement in the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the SDGs in 2015, in our facilitation of the New York Declaration for Refugees and Migrants in 2016, and in our ongoing role as Chair of the Commission on the Status of Women, which Geraldine chairs in such a professional way. We have been a strong and consistent champion at the UN for disarmament and the need to restrict the use of nuclear weapons. The common thread through these processes is Ireland's commitment to hearing and trying to heed the voices of everybody, to forge consensus and common purpose, which is what this great building next door to us should be all about. Our voices must become one on key global challenges. Taking a place on the Security Council will amplify our collective voice on matters of global importance, international peace, security and development, and climate risk to many of the small island nations represented here. As Ireland's Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade, I have met many of you as serving ambassadors and diplomats here in the UN. I have heard your passion for sustainable development, for ending conflict and hunger, and for securing a future based on equality and parity of esteem among nations and peoples, because you care about the people that you represent. We want to be your voice. We want to share that passion. I can assure you that Ireland is beholden to nobody, to no organization, which could or would ever inhibit us from working towards these goals. In seeking your support in 2020, Ireland is driven to meet our responsibilities as a member of the United Nations. But also, we want this campaign to strengthen the international awareness of Ireland. Who are we, and what do we stand for from this little island in the Atlantic Ocean? Let me say this. We stand for the centrality of multilateralism to international relations and the importance of a rules-based system of laws and responsibilities for everybody, large and small nations. We stand for sustaining peace and protecting the most vulnerable globally. We stand for sustainable development, for disarmament, for humanitarian assistance, the realization of human rights for all, and the empowerment of women and girls. If Ireland is elected to a non-permanent seat on the UN Security Council, our fundamental approach to any agenda item will be guided by these core values of our foreign policy. They are values which we have shown a commitment to since joining the UN, and that is a commitment that will remain constant no matter what position we hold in this great assembly. Our path is our own, but it's a path that we want to share with many people gathered with us here this evening. We bring no partisan agenda to the table. We are here to serve the wider good and to support the UN in its multilateral system. And we will be courageous, let there be no mistake about that, when at the UN. And all of you need to know that when Ireland needs to show courage and commitment and independence, we will do so around the Security Council table. The UN Security Council membership is a privilege, and we will not waste a minute of time if we are given the privilege to represent all of you. Empathy, partnership, and independence will be the basis of our character as your representatives. With Ireland, you do know, I hope, what you get. A small country with big thinking, a country that listens, and a strong, independent voice that promotes the values that I hope continue to inspire this organization into the future. There is an Irish poet, a Nobel laureate, called William Butler Yeats. And to quote him, he says, "Think where man's glory most begins and ends, and say my glory was I had such friends." Ireland is honoured to have many such friends here this evening, and we hope and believe that we can and will do you proud should you give us the opportunity that we seek on your behalf. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Comisha. Before I introduce our last speaker, I would like to encourage you, after we conclude our remarks, to enjoy the great party that we have out behind you here. We have fantastic music from Mick Maloney at the Inland Friends, great young Irish dancers from the Mulva Hill School, the sustainable development goals you see all around you, but they're actually on your plate and in your hand in the green, sustainable Gordia's Origin Green Food. We have an epic centre where you can see whether you have Irish roots or heritage, and I know already that many of you do. And please don't miss the specially dedicated tent to Ireland's honourable 60 years of peacekeeping, where you can learn more about that tradition. And now, ladies and gentlemen, if ever there was a triumph of optimism over cynicism, our final speaker is our living proof. Bono, you showed us that last night with such poetry and poise as you straddled the worlds of rock and roll and diplomacy. The UN never had such a shout-out. Ladies and gentlemen, Ireland's best-known humanitarian philanthropist crusader, and by the way, did I say he sings as well? Bono.
I didn't know you were such a rock and roller, Shirley. That's quite something. Thank you. I know it's unusual having a rock star hanging out at the UN Plaza, but I'll tell you what's really unusual. Having a load of ambassadors jumping up and down, shouting their heads off at a rock and roll show, that is unusual. Very unusual. And that's what we had last night. At least you weren't shouting at each other. I thought that was good. Now, it is an honour. It is an honour for this troubadour to be in such esteemed company. I couldn't be prouder to share the stage with this Taoiseach and this Taoiseach, who are infuriatingly younger than me. And, younger than the rock singer and smarter. I also have to say, I'm excited to be on the stage with the real rock star around here, Mary Robinson. Come on. Not just the star of our little nation. I mean, she's a star of the United Nations. And when she's in the room, you can feel her love for the place because it's real. She feels it. She believes in the United Nations. And so do I. I love this building. I love the architecture. I love that it exists. And I'll tell you, I don't take for granted that it exists or that it will continue to exist. Because let's be honest, we live at a time when institutions as vital to human progress as the United Nations are under attack. And, you know, you have the European Union is threatened, the G7 is being threatened, NATO is being threatened, the WTO is being threatened. I mean, what's left? And not just these institutions, but what they stand for. An international order based on shared values and shared rules. An international order that is facing the greatest test in its 70-year history. Not just these institutions, but what they've achieved is at risk. Paris. Fuck. Is that? So I just want to say to everyone gathered here, I'm really glad to see you. And I hope I continue to see you. I hope we grow old together. But if that's what we want, we all have some work to do. And you've just heard from my countrymen and women. You can count on Ireland to do its part in that work. These are troubling times indeed. Now, Ireland is a great beneficiary of the United Nations. We're a great contributor to the United Nations, and we're ready to be an even greater, even louder, even more passionate champion of the United Nations. Now, if we're honest, there is an irony and audacity in that, because Ireland, if you haven't already noticed, it is not exactly a giant. Even our rock stars are little. Ireland, this tiny rock in the North Atlantic Ocean, Ireland, whose biggest exports for a long time was not Guinness or pharmaceuticals or agriculture, but sadly, our own people. Irish people were our biggest export for some time. For most of the past century, who would have expected leadership from a country with such troubles, a country divided by religion, plagued by violence, a country on the receiving end of international aid and concern, and yet sometimes condescension. Yeah, the receiving end. But if you look at the agenda of what the Security Council will be called on to address over the coming years, doesn't it look a lot like us? We'd like to think Ireland's experience of colonialism, conflict, famine, mass migration give us a kind of hard-earned expertise in these problems. And I hope an empathy, I hope humility, though I might have missed that particular memo. No, the world didn't give up on Ireland. And Ireland didn't give up on Ireland. And we stand today on solid ground. Amen to that. But we have not forgotten how it feels when the ground shakes beneath your feet. We have not forgotten what it feels like to live on both sides of the equation and on the knife edge in between. We've not forgotten what it's like to face starvation and the mismanagement, the abuse of power that causes it. We've not forgotten what it's like to live in danger and desperation. It's the air we used to breathe, even in the Dublin of my youth in the 60s and 70s. Neither have we forgotten the help we had from this community. Why do Irish people so revere an organization that is committed to human rights and human dignity? Because we have so often had those very rights and dignity taken away from us. Why are the Irish so committed to international cooperation? Because our little island can't exist without it. But doesn't all of this give Ireland something very valuable to say to other nations with similar issues, like surviving colonization, like coming out from under the colonial hoof, if I might call it that? It's why we relate so strongly to African countries. On that majestic continent, we find similar spirits to ourselves, indomitable spirits that, like us, demand their full potential. Their problems are and where our problems. In our minds, there is no separation. You are us. We are the same. Are there any Africans in the house here? Les amis, les ambassadeurs, Africains, ça va? Yeah, and the Latin Americans know it too. Are you any Latin? Yes, here. Come on, San amigos. Okay, the accent's not great. Look, You can go for Canada. Canada's great. I've just come back from Canada. Justin Trudeau is a truly remarkable leader who's put together the most diverse cabinet on the planet. That Canada is nice is the worst thing I can say about them. And Norway, who could ask for a better neighbor, a more committed peacemaker? Here's the worst thing I can say about them. They're tall. They're too tall. But I promise the Taoiseach I would stick and stay on message. Sir, look, clearly, we bear no nation, even tall ones, any ill will. I hope the countries you represent see Ireland, as I myself do, as the fiercest and warmest of friends. There's so much more interesting a choice going on, isn't there? And who's going to sit in that seat? The choice is not just about the Security Council. It's about the United Nations as a whole, about its future, and indeed whether it has one, and it better. Whether its values still matter, and they better. Whether peace is still possible, and who will speak for those noble ideas when the heat is on, and we better. So standing here, in that heat, the heat of a moment suffused with possibility and peril, might I argue, you need storytellers. When our duty is greater and our responsibility heavier than in any of our lifetimes, you need storytellers. Why? Because words matter. Peace is not just a word, but the word matters. And another word, perhaps the most important word in the whole English language outside of love, matters. Compromise. The word is compromise, because that's how you achieve peace. And compromise is a word the Irish people understand very, very well. It's part of our story, our recent story. And we are storytellers. So, your honourable peace activists, if you need some storytellers to describe what's really important about this place, and I believe you do, let us tell the story. We in Ireland are products of our past, but we're not prisoners of it. We're not trapped by our story, and neither are you. We must all become storytellers. We must all become storytellers of a future we want to share. It will be a better one if we tell the right stories. Ones of equality and justice and human dignity, human rights, human progress. This is the story we need to tell. And we need to tell it with imagination and passion and heartfelt conviction. We are storytellers, but this is the best story ever. Thank you.
Sunlight shines, those pits, they're black as hell. In modern time, they do their time, it's Paddy's prison cell. And they curse the day they travel far, then drown their tears with a jar. So, oh, they wait for the Molly Maguire, they're drinkers, they're liars, but they're men. Make way for the Molly Maguires, you'll never see the likes of them again. Backs will break and the muscles ache, down there there's no time to dream. A field and farm, a woman's arms, just dig that bloody seam. Though they drain their bodies underground, who'll dare to push them around? Oh, hey,
Molly Maguire. You'll never be the likes of them again. So make way for a Molly Maguire. They're pretty girls, they're liars, but they're men. Make way for a Molly Maguire. You'll never be the likes of them again.
A lot of people indeed are on holidays, on vacation. Many have gone to Ireland and right across the United States, of course, because of our Independence Day, which fell on, you know, on Wednesday, July 4th. Some people, they snuck away. And so wherever you are in the world, if you're celebrating summer, and indeed, if you are, you know, if you really can't take the heat, let's say in places like New York, it won't be quite as bad in Ireland, but I'll tell you one thing, fabulous weather, a great run of weather on both sides of the Atlantic. Anya Sheridan, executive producer of the program, and myself, Adrian Flannery, all of us at Irish Radio Network USA and irishradio.com. Hope, indeed, that, go ahead, enjoy. It's summer. It's the height of summer. And as we listen to John O'Connor playing some reels on the piano, which is no mean feat, we want to, again, thank you for listening to our program. If you like the program, anytime, no matter where you are in the world, just log on to irishradio.com. And I was going to say, on the other hand, if you don't, but I'll let that one go. All right. Okay. So long. God bless.